It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
One, a crisis bigger than COVID, killing more young people than the coronavirus, more than car accidents, more than suicide, the crisis of Americans being poisoned. Two, Fan Mail Friday. I interact with some of your comments from the past week. Three, a very special guest. At long last, Barstool's Jersey Jerry. It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to Friday. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment, Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. You can watch full episodes of the Will Cain Podcast on Rumble and see some of our big monologues and interviews at YouTube. For 3 years, I had a job that I loved. I hosted the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Today, I have a job that I love, hosting the Will Cain Podcast and Fox and Friends at Fox News. But when I hosted the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, we, over time, developed a cast of characters, not just within the show, with my guys, Cerruti, Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., Pat, but also from outside the show, regular callers into the Will Cain Show that became part of our family. There was The Dude. There was Glickman. But perhaps most famously, there was Jersey Jerry. Jersey Jerry with his impossible voice. Will, it's Jersey Jerry here. Jerry, is that your real voice? This is how I talk, Will. Jerry was combative. He would argue with me about the Cowboys or the Steelers. He was funny. He was always fighting and most of the time succeeding to get on air at ESPN Radio. And I will tell you, one of the great pleasures of my career has been watching over the last 2 to 3 years the explosion of Jersey Jerry as one of the most entertaining voices in sports. Jerry became one of the main personalities at Barstool Sports. And the last time we spoke was probably on air, as he was a caller and I was a host at ESPN Radio. Today, he will join us right here on the Will Cain Podcast, this time as a star. You'll enjoy this conversation. It's fun. It's deep. Stick around for Jersey Jerry. Story number one. The hidden crisis. The poisoning of Americas. I choose my words carefully. Americans are dying at jaw-dropping numbers, not from overdose, but from being poisoned by fentanyl. Yes, I know you've probably heard at this point the crisis that is fentanyl, the synthetic opioid that small molecules, grams, can kill thousands or hundreds of people. Fentanyl is making its way through Mexico, pressed into pills, often looking like candy marketed to kids, laced in almost every street drug there is, from heroin and cocaine to marijuana. You never know when you're about to take your next and last dose of fentanyl. This synthetic opioid has true medicinal pharmaceutical uses, developed, I believe, back in the 1950s, roughly, as a painkiller within the setting of a hospital. But today it is the most dangerous and lethal street drug on the market. How dangerous and lethal? That is what I wanted to share with you today. I just wanted to put this into context. I want you to understand these numbers. NIH data reveals that over the last couple of weeks, just measuring the last couple of weeks worth of data, 154 Americans are dying every day from fentanyl poisoning. That, translated in news terms, is 38 mass shootings every day. I say translated into news terms because how much attention would it get if there were 38 mass shootings in one day. Now, that's mass shootings as defined by the mainstream media as well, with a loose definition. But 154 intentional or at least reckless and malicious murders every day in this country. Over 14 days, that's 2,156 Americans killed by fentanyl. That is 539 mass shootings. Does what's happening at our southern border within the Mexican drug cartel trade and with the Chinese Communist Party poisoning our kids with fentanyl make the news, as does a mass shooting? Let me flesh out what I just said to you. This is now major business, big business for the Mexican drug cartels. They have pill press machines just across the border. Every week you hear stories of drug mules bringing in enough fentanyl to wipe out an American city. I mean that, wipe out an American city. It's so potent and so deadly, it doesn't take much to send someone to their coffin. But fentanyl is a chemical that is not easily accessible and not made in Mexico. Fentanyl is a precursor chemical that is made primarily in two nations, India, but more prominently in China. China is the original geographic and industrial source of fentanyl. And nothing happens in China, nothing happens in China without at least the tacit approval of the Chinese Communist Party. Not much flies under the radar in this massively surveilled and top-down controlled totalitarian society. So if there is fentanyl being shipped out by the barrel load, and there is, from ports along the Chinese coast, you can be damn well sure it's with the full knowledge and acceptance of the Chinese Communist Party. In essence, then, what you're hearing is that the Chinese Communist Party is playing the role of the Cali cartel, the Medellin cartel, to the cocaine trade. To this day, and obviously famously from the 1980s and 1990s, the Mexican drug cartels were the middlemen. They shipped Colombian cocaine to the United States of America from the supplier market to the buyer market, from supply to demand. Mexico was simply a way station smuggling point for cocaine once the Caribbean maritime and air routes were shut down. Now, fentanyl's original source, not unlike cocaine for Colombia, is coming from China through Mexico, again as the way station middleman smuggling point, to flood America with this poison. And it is poison. Who do you know that goes out onto the street? I'm sure there's a time to time there people do this, but says, give me some of that sweet, sweet fentanyl. No, they're buying cocaine. They're buying heroin. And they're getting fentanyl. They could be buying, by the way, your teenager, your kid, could be buying Ritalin, Adderall, ADHD drugs, antidepressants off the street and getting it laced with fentanyl and dying. We have these stories on Fox and Friends all too often of parents whose kids are dead. They walk into their bedrooms and these kids haven't woken up. Why? Well, because he wanted some more Adderall and he bought some off the internet. And instead, he got it poisoned with fentanyl. You see, these aren't overdoses. These are murders. Yes, we have, and we will continue to talk about the way this is making its way through the absolute floodgate open southern border of the United States of America. But we have to also talk about this at the source point. In China, where there's an intentional plan to kill America's children, and they're doing it very well. How much attention do not just mass shootings get, but does get COVID? Right now, we're looking at 356 COVID deaths a day. And of course, I think you can ask very legitimate questions about what it means to have a death coded COVID. Are these people dying of COVID or with COVID? Regardless, our CDC suggests right now the number is 356. Again, 154 Americans, so just shy of half of that number, dying from fentanyl. Compare the news coverage. Then there's this. If you limit it to 18 to 45-year-olds, our kids, our young people, fentanyl is the number one cause of death. Number one, above COVID, above car accidents, above suicide. From April 2020 to April 2021, 40,000 18 to 45-year-olds died from fentanyl. Just about double the number that died at the height of the COVID pandemic in that same age group. We are being poisoned. Those numbers should be eye-opening. We have to do something to attack not just the border, but the source that's bringing in this poison, killing Americans.
We'll be right back with more of the Will Cain Podcast.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
Story number two. Fan Mail Friday. We brought in some of your comments from our email address as well as comments on YouTube and on social media. I thought I might share some of your comments and address them from this past week. First, in our episode with Lisa Booth, host of The Truth with Lisa Booth and a Fox News contributor, wherein we talked about misinformation when it comes to COVID. Lisa Booth said she was so happy that she never gave in to peer pressure and not got vaccinated. This is what some of the comments on social media had to say to Lisa Booth. Your choice did impact others. That is the whole point of getting vaccinated. It isn't about you. It's about what is best for everyone, most especially the vulnerable. That's what Miss Ainu said. In the same theme, U.S. Army veteran with Ukrainian flag in the handle says to Lisa and myself, because they, you were selfish and dangerous during a pandemic. I'm of the belief that they, you should be ostracized relentlessly even now. The pandemic isn't over. So Lisa and her choice not to get vaccinated should mean that she should be ostracized from society. And then Joy Booth says, I will never forget my ICU being overwhelmed, coding more patients a day than I had ever seen in a year and zipping people my age into body bags. All right. These are people still living as zombies, having their brain removed somewhere in the year 2020. Apparently there's no realization that the vaccine doesn't do anything to stop transmission. Lisa's choice doesn't impact anyone else. No one else. Yet here's still people who can be forgiven for not understanding the misinformation out there as Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, continues to say the quote-unquote updated vaccine will keep you from getting sick. It doesn't stop transmission. Her choice does not affect your body. Here is an email from Thomas S. He says, Senator Josh Hawley, this is in response to Monday's episode of the Will Cain Podcast entitled Martha's Vineyard. Enjoy the wins, but fix the problem. In story number two of that episode, we talked about whether or not Facebook is a private company, if it's acting at the behest of the government to censor. Thomas S. says in response to that story on Monday's episode, Senator Josh Hawley was calm and astute while he communicated with that Facebook representative. He did a good job. Denmark will bar almost everyone under the age of 50 from receiving more COVID shots. You should consider mentioning that on your podcast. By the way, I live in New Westminster, BC, Canada, and I drove with the Freedom Convoy in January. Thank you, Thomas S., for being such a force for freedom. I decided to look that up. He's absolutely right. Did you know that sometime back, Denmark took off the market the COVID shot for people under the age of 18? They have now extended, and I read the Danish health directive, they have now extended that to people age 50 and younger. Only people at a high risk of severe sickness will be able to get the COVID shot. They have yet to define what is severe sickness or what it is to be high risk, meaning cancer patients, whoever it may be, will be able to get the COVID shot. Won't be offered. It's implied in here. Alex Berenson writes about this. They're suggesting there's a risk-reward analysis. Oh my God, a risk-reward analysis? That's enough to get you banned from social media. A risk-reward analysis for people to compare their health risks against, yes, the potential risks of the COVID vaccine. This pairs up very well in knowing the facts about what's happening in our world. The UK, pulling the shot for children under the age of 10. Not offered. Meanwhile, in America, pediatricians are being paid to cut ads to tell you your two-year-old, your six-month-old needs the shot. As more countries across the world yank it because the risk-reward analysis isn't right for healthy people to get the shot. Then, in reaction to our interview with Douglas Murray, who is always a big, big party hit, H.K. Fooey says, in fact, whenever I consider my fantasy dinner party, Douglas consistently figures in the guest list. You know, a while back, not on this podcast, but on a different podcast as a guest, was asked who my dinner party, fantasy dinner party guest list might be on the invitation. And I said at the time, and these three individuals I think remain, I said at the time, Tucker Carlson, Charles Barkley, and Joe Rogan. Can I add to that? I would love to add, how about Matt Taibbi, journalist, who has nothing but bad things to say about me, at least in the past. I don't care. I think he's interesting. And Aaron Rodgers, who in the past I've only had bad things to say about, and now I find interesting. I don't care. I'd also add, for what it's worth, not gratuitously, that I would add Barstool's Jersey Jerry to that fantasy dinner invitation list. Jersey Jerry is coming up in just moments here on the Will Cain podcast, and you'll see, at least in part, why I would add him to that list. Here's some more comments. Vita Tipple says on YouTube, what a great conversation between Will Cain and Douglas Murray. Gentlemen, Douglas is always super smart, eloquent, insightful, and persuasive. Yes, he is. Some of that's baked into the British accent. Will is so quick, thinking, honest, and beautifully formulated with his questions and responses. As we say in England, nice one. Is that an English thing to say? Well, I appreciate the compliment. As we say sometimes in Texas, Vita, nice one. Then Philip Walton says, over decades of meeting people from former colonies of Britain, I was always asked the same question. What is it like living under British rule? The answer was invariably, we had law and order. The most appreciative I found to be those from Hong Kong. Huh. That's fascinating. Now, a few compliments and some criticism from some user feedback. Here is Ann Bruce Pineda. Stellar, Will, on our episode on why Biden is going after the middle class. Are you planning on making a Senate bid anytime soon? You could filibuster as well as Senator Cruz and Rubio, I think. Is that a compliment? That I can just speak extemporaneously, maybe pointlessly, on end? I don't know. Ann goes on to say, I agree with everything you say, and would get it into Spanish for you at no cost if you would send me the transcript in English. I don't plan to run for any political office, much less senator. And if I were to run for political office, it would be governor of Texas, of course. Rick for Electric says, my instinct tells me not to like this guy. This guy? Me? My instinct tells me not to like this guy. He seems so disingenuous. Again, me? Anyone slinging someone else's agenda for money is a problem for me. We live in a time of overwhelming propaganda, and unfortunately, it seems to be working. This guy supports a world, and I don't. This guy supports that world, and I don't. I guess that's where we part ways. Well, Rick, I am wide open to accepting criticism that I'm wrong, even. As you'll see in this interview with Jersey Jerry from some of the most insane people in media, Keith Olbermann, who literally tweets at me during the middle of our interview, telling me I'm stupid, but I'm not disingenuous. It makes me wonder if I'm coming off that way somehow in the way I communicate. Got to think about that. But one thing I'm confident in, and anybody that's listened to me for any great amount of time knows, I'm nothing if not 100% authentic with you. Now, here's a compliment. Will Cain is a talented dude. Says Sean, and Susan responds, yeah, man, he used to dominate Stephen A. during sports debates and should be offered that permanent seat on First Take, but he's more talented debater and he doesn't subscribe to woke politics, so ESPN can't have him. Will Cain's also a diehard Cowboys fan, which makes him even that much more likable, even though our Cowboys are in a world of hurt. Well, I appreciate you having my back. Suns season 7? Oh, also a Suns fan. And I appreciate the compliment. Matthew Lang, one more. Will Cain is building serious credibility with me over the last 6 months, a serious and powerful journalist. I appreciate that. I appreciate that means people are watching us, listening to us, who are new and are keeping up with some of these conversations that are not happening in other places. There are other criticisms in here that I'm going to dedicate actually more time to, specifically regarding my defense of American culture, challenging me to define American culture. I will do that in some upcoming episodes of the Will Cain podcast. I'll do that happily. I can and want to define American culture. But I always appreciate your feedback, not just your compliments, but actually your criticism as well. So keep them coming in. I'll read them as I always do, and I might include them right here on the Will Cain podcast. All right, next, one of the guests of my fantasy dinner, Barstool's Jersey Jerry.
All right, we're going to step aside here for just a moment. Stay tuned.
Story number three. Jersey Jerry used to call into the Will Cain podcast on a roughly weekly basis. We always loved when he would call in. We'd put him through because he was a funny dude. Well, I love this story because not only has he gone from a caller on radio shows to an absolute star in sports and social media, but he's gone from, as we learned in this conversation, high on crack and heroin, strung out behind a dumpster, to a clean and recovered and contributing valuable member of this American society. I love following the success of Jersey Jerry. You should check him out. He has a podcast at Barstool called the Friends of Jerry podcast. He's on Twitter at JerryTheKid21 and on Instagram the same way. I'm telling you, you're not going to regret it. Jersey Jerry is a talented, fun dude, and you'll enjoy this conversation right here on the Will Cain podcast. If TJ Watt leaves the Steelers, you will divorce the Steelers and follow TJ Watt?
No. So the reason I said that was because Big Cat and Dave are professionals. They knew that I was under duress. I was upset about the whole injury. They found me at my most vulnerable point, and they wanted to, you know, expose me. And that's exactly what they did. I would never say that again.
Well, how do you mean expose you? By pitting two things you love against one another?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they knew because TJ Watt got hurt, it's my favorite player. They knew I would say something outlandish and then post it on the Barstool page to make me look like a fake Steelers fan, and that's just not the case.
I can't think of a single Dallas Cowboys player in history or in present time, and you know I'm a big Dak Prescott guy, who would inspire me to leave the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I would never do that either. I'm just saying, listen, I made a mistake. I own up to it, and that's it. That's all I'll say. I'll never leave the Steelers.
Jersey Jerry, you are full of surprises. I never had you as a guy who would be early to this show. What are you doing here early?
Early? I mean, listen, you know, we started back in 2-3 years ago, you know, on the radio, and I loved calling into your show. I was a big fan of the show, listened to it every day. And for you to invite me to be on your podcast, even though I'm at Barstool now, still nothing changed. I still love you.
We're going to get into that, man. I'm so excited to talk to you. I really am. No, here's the deal. I was just talking about this before you jumped on the show. A listener here to the Will Cain podcast brought up who their Mount Rushmore might be of people they'd like to, in the media, spend a dinner. And I was thinking, I was asked this back when I was at ESPN, and I think I said, I would want Tucker Carlson, Charles Barkley, and Joe Rogan. And I was thinking about this before you hopped on today, and I said this just a moment ago. I would use those same three individuals, and I would probably add Aaron Rodgers, who I find incredibly interesting as well. And I mean this, I think I would add Jersey Jerry to that dinner as well.
Thank you, Will. That means a lot.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore? Who's your fantasy dinner, Jerry? No pressure. You don't have to say me. I don't expect you to say me. I want to know your fantasy dinner.
How many are we talking?
You know, Barstool has the market cornered on Mount Rushmore, so I'll give you five. Instead of four and it being a Mount Rushmore, I'll give you five.
All right. I would do my number one would be Steve-O. Big
from
fan
Jackass?
Of his. Yes. Big fan of his. You know, he got sober. I'm currently sober. I love his story. So I would go Steve-O, TJ Watt, because that's my favorite football player of all time. My third would be, this is going to come from the clouds. It really is. Would be Emeril Lagasse from the Food Network. So that's three.
This is great.
Four, I would have to say, I would have to honestly go with Dave, because I feel like he's just a wild card at that dinner. And then the fifth one would have to be, ooh, this is tough. The fifth one, I would say, would have to be my second favorite Steeler of all time, Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, Big Ben rounds out an awesome, I'm writing them down, fantasy dinner top five Jersey Jerry list. Listen, I didn't say you, I didn't add you to my list just because you were coming on. I want to ask you something, and it's going to come off, you listen to the Will Cain show long enough to know that I don't give gratuitous compliments. I really don't. And I've told this story on numerous occasions. I lived in New York City for 15 years. I had Jerry, this beautiful Doberman. He was amazing. And I would take him to the park before 9 a.m. It's leash free. And people would say, oh my God, that's a beautiful dog. And I couldn't return the compliment, you know, in that kind of nicey nice way you're supposed to, unless the dog was truly beautiful. So I don't give fake compliments. Man, I don't know if I've been way too engulfed in politics for the last 2 years, but I'm not into a lot of the content that's being produced in sports. I'm truly not. You know, okay. I don't mean insult to anyone, but I'm not into anybody's takes. I'm not into much of anything being produced within sports. I still consume sports. I watch live sports. I read sports. But as far as, like, you know, entertainers and content creators, Jerry, you have gone from a caller into the Will Cain show to, I swear to you, one of the only voices in sports that I look forward to hearing what they have to say. Like, you are meteoric, man, and you're hitting all the notes right. And, you know, I want to talk to you about how that happened, but I mean it. You're like on a list of probably three dudes at this point where, in the world of sports, I can't wait to see what they have to say next.
Well, you know what it is? I feel like people in this business now, like, you know, all the reporters and all the media stars and stuff like that, you see the guys on SportsCenter, you see the guys on all these different NFL network. I feel like they have been able to now, like, have free reign to pretty much bash athletes and say whatever they want for clicks. You know what I mean? I feel like some of the stuff they say is like, oh my God, like, you didn't hear that 5 years ago. You didn't hear that 10 years ago where reporters flat out come out and say, this guy is garbage. This guy is terrible. He doesn't deserve to play football. I'm not one of those guys, you know, and I feel like it's kind of messed up that they kind of do that for clicks. But for me is what I
hold on. I have to take you seriously right now. Hey, okay, I've got two words for you, okay? And you can tie this into your answer. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm going to give you two words and then you explain your beautiful pontification on the nature of sports media. Those two words are this: Justin Fields.
Bad person.
But you're not here to bash anybody.
No, but they don't know the full story. You know what I mean? That's where they'll probably be like, what the hell is going on?
You went and tried to get Justin Fields' autograph at an autograph signing session, and you didn't come away with a signature, and he's now bad person Justin Fields. Sad day. Bad dude.
See, you're wrong. So an NFL player, I'm not going to mention his name, he's a running back for a big market team, paid for me $1,500. He's a fan of Jersey Jerry. He said, here, Jerry, I want you to go to this event with my manager. I'm giving him $1,500. You'll have exclusive access in the back. You get whatever autograph, whatever picture you want. Nothing is going to go wrong. You'll be fine. I go back there. I show my pass, because you needed a pass to go back there to get the autographs, get the pictures. I go back there. Jalen Hurts, great guy. Great guy. Justin Herbert, I get a picture with Herbert, great guy. Devontae Smith, great guy. Nick Bosa, great guy. Rodney Harrison, great guy. Pitcher, autograph, the whole nine. I see Justin Fields walk by. I'm not a Justin Fields fan. I'm really not. This guy's manager, I'm not going to say who the NFL player was, this guy manager is like, Jerry, go get a picture with Justin Fields. He's going to be really good one day. I'm like, yeah, you sure? You think so? He's like, yeah, go get a picture. I'm like, okay, no problem. He's walking by, and I'm standing here. He's walking by. I say, hey, Justin, how you doing? You mind a quick picture? And he looks at me like in disgust. And he's like, sure, I guess, man. And I'm like, okay. So we took a picture, and you just see in the picture how, like, miserable he is, how miserable I am. Like, I should have never asked for the picture. That's number one. But now I know. Now I know that he's not a good guy. And you've seen, you know, you've seen what some of the comments he said the other day, how he just doesn't care about Chicago Bears fans.
So setting aside Justin Fields, which that's an incredible story, I hear what you're saying about why you feel like you have, you know, risen rock star in the world of sports. But I actually disagree with you, as comes as no surprise. Again, mm-hmm. I love that you know who you're dealing with as someone who has...
We've disagreed on many things.
Where once you might have been my fan to now, I am now your fan. Here's why I think you've had this meteoric rise. I really mean it. And why you are one of the, I'm serious, 3 to 5 people that I look forward to hearing what they have to say in sports. Man, you're fun. And the bottom line is, sports is about fun. You know, and again, yeah. I don't want to use names because a lot of these people have been cool to me and a lot of people I've worked with. But, like, a take is not good enough for me anymore. And, you know, look, I had a lot of takes, you know, but you listened to the Will Cain show. It was, we had a lot of fun, me and the guys, yeah. And you calling in. And sports is supposed to be the toy aisle of life, and it's supposed to be fun. And, man, I don't know. I'm talking about, I just don't, you know, I could turn on the television, I could turn on my radio, and maybe somebody's got a strong opinion, but I don't have fun until I go to your Instagram or go to your pod. And that's not to say you're not somebody with substance, you know, which I want to talk about when it comes to substance in just a minute. But man, you're fun. Like, why do you, first of all, for those, and we kind of jump straight into this conversation. So for those that either do or do not know me, coming from Jerry's audience, or those that only know me now through the realm of politics, 3 years, solo radio show, ESPN Radio, and Jersey Jerry was a regular call-in. Now, I remember, and we used it as a drop the first time you called in, Will, Jersey Jerry here. And I said, Jerry, is that your real voice or are you putting that on? Well, this is how I talk. You know, that was a running intro and outro on the Will Cain show. But man, you went from that, and I know it wasn't just me. You watched and listened to other shows, and you posted on the internet, and you were talking about recently how ashamed you were of sliding into DMs. But you went from that to this, man, and I don't know how Dave feels, but you're one of the top stars at Barstool. That's objectively true, and if you ever want to go somewhere else, I know your first call should be to me, and I want to figure it out, because you're one of the top stars at Barstool. But you got to let me and the audience know, how did you go from a caller into radio shows to the Will Cain show to where you are right now?
I think for me, it's just being yourself and being authentic. And, you know, along the way, I took some criticism. You know, there's always people out there, especially the bigger you get, there's always going to be, you know, haters, but you try to block them out. For me, I try to take advice from people who have been in this kind of business before. But I think a big thing is just being myself. You know, I struggled for a lot of years, you know, just with substance abuse and just being down on my luck and whatnot. And, you know, I finally got my stuff together, and I said to myself, I remember I was in Desert Cove Recovery in Scottsdale, Arizona, back in 2015. And I kind of had, like, some spiritual awakening, and I said to myself, you know, I'm going to be remembered one day. For what it is, I have no idea what it's going to be. But one day I'll be remembered. And, you know, I just always knew that I was the funny guy, you know, when I would be around people and stuff like that, people gravitated towards me. It was easy for me to make friends. It was easy for me to make people laugh. And I just stuck with it. You know, I stuck with it. I started out calling radio shows, the Will Cain show, called a bunch of shows, threw out some takes that were a little outlandish. But you know what? They were funny. And the people listening to the shows could get a good laugh out of them. And maybe the next time I would call, they would be like, oh man, I know that guy. That guy's name is Jersey Jerry. I know his voice. He made me laugh last time. And then, you know, it just kind of took off. I linked up with another guy who kind of propelled me a little bit. Not a little bit, I'd say a lot of bit. We signed together with a company called Action Park Media that's run by Kevin Conley. Things didn't really work out. And that's when Dave found me, you know. Dave found me from the Steelers video years prior, and then we kind of reconnected, and he gave me a chance, and I'm happy I'm here, you know. But I think a big part of it, Will, is just me being myself, and you know, I'm constantly working. I'm constantly coming up with different ideas, different ways to make people laugh, different ways to just have a good time, you know. So everything is working. Everything's on the up and up over here.
Okay, but take me behind the scenes a little bit more, and I want to follow up on so much you had to say right there, but take me behind the scenes a little bit more on, it sounds like there was a couple of breaks in there from the time that I knew you to the point at which you and I are reconnecting today, but a big break has to be Dave reaching out. Now, was that Dave seeing you on social media and saying, hey, why don't you come in and talk to me? Is that how that literally went down?
So it's a funny story. I went viral years ago on Barstool for the Steelers freakout video. This is years ago, and you know, reached out to Barstool. They invited me to a racetrack where they were watching the national championship between Clemson and Alabama. They invited me over to the FanDuel, and I met Dave there. We exchanged numbers, and I always had his number in my phone. But this is where it gets kind of funny. For about 3 years, I would DM Barstool my videos and whatnot, and nobody would respond. Sometimes they would post my videos, but most of the time I got left on read, which is okay. I didn't stop because I knew what I was doing was funny. I knew what I was doing was good. And then, you know, it was like 6 or 7 messages in a row and I didn't get a response. And I just looked over to one of my friends and I was like, damn, man, you know, I would love to work for a company like that, you know? And he's like, yeah, I wish you could get in contact with Dave somehow. And then I said to myself, I think I have this guy's number. So all these years, I didn't know I had his number in my phone. And I shot him a text, and I said, hey, Dave, this is Jersey Jerry, the Steelers freakout video guy. He goes, hey, what's up? How you doing? Dave is a very dry texter. So I didn't know how he felt about me. And he said, hey, how you doing? Long story short, I put the pressure on him and I said, hey, I deserve a chance to work for this company. And he's like, okay, come do an interview. I did an interview. He offered me the job and I said no. The reason I said no was because I didn't want to leave my union job at the time. I wanted to do it part-time. That's when I went to Action Park Media. Kevin Connolly found me on the internet and he hired me at Action Park Media. Things went south there very quick. Me and another guy got hired to do stuff together. But it didn't work out. You know, I don't think Kevin Connolly was the biggest Jersey Jerry fan and it just didn't work. And that's okay. I left there. I was still doing it. I was doing the Action Park Media part time and the union job. So I just went back to the union job full time, which was no problem. And then after a couple weeks, I texted Dave and I kind of said, you know, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. And he didn't answer me. He didn't answer me for a couple weeks after that. And then I just said, my last message, I'll never forget to him, was this. Hey, this will be my last message to you, Dave. Sorry that I initially said no. I do apologize. I made a mistake. But if you don't give me another chance, I guarantee you, you're going to regret it one day. And he said, be at my office this time, this day. And that was history.
So first of all, forget Kevin Connolly and Entourage.
Yeah.
Forget him. He has obviously no eye for talent. You know, Jerry, here's why I like you telling that story. Okay. And I don't know, you know, maybe some of this will go on your feed or some of this will go out to people who listen to me. It's inspirational. So in this way, I think people need to be realistic. I do. I think you need to walk through this world with a certain amount of realism about what you want to accomplish and how you can accomplish it. But that doesn't ever mean you don't swing for the fence. I've always been a swing for the fence guy. But swinging for the fence isn't simply one at bat with a grand slam shot. It's a ton of, you know, batting practice and singles on the way to that game-winning grand slam that everybody remembers. But you just can't be afraid to hit for the fences. No. And you reaching out to Dave, I'll tell you know, my first real break in television was this, man. I sent an email. This is 10 years before you, roughly, you know, and so, you know, we weren't fully in the social media age. I sent an email to the president of CNN at the time, and I guessed at his email address. I figured out the formula, you know, first name dot last name at turner.com. And I said, you need somebody like me over there, somebody with my point of view. And boy, did they. And he responded within 15 minutes, man, and said, come on in, let's talk. And I came in. I'd attached a clip, you know, and so he could see some of my work. And I did. And then I don't want to say the rest is history. There's still a lot of work to do after that. But the point is, not be afraid. I always said this, man. I don't accept no's from people who aren't empowered to say yes. So if the guy that can say yes tells me no, that's different. But companies are full of people that only have the power really to say no. So I go to the one that has the power to say yes. So at least there's that potentiality. And you did that with Dave. And like I said, man, look, everyone has their own personal taste. I think obviously Dave is a rock star, superstar, big cat, the same. Mm-hmm. You're right there, man. You're right there. And it is because you're being yourself. And here's my humble observation, too. I think video is huge for you. Like, you were good as a caller into the Will Cain Show, but the minute that I saw your face, it was entirely different. The minute I can see you, it's entirely different, man. And look, that's life. Like, nonverbal communication, you know, all types of forms of communication go into how we actually interact as people. But you got the package. And I think once I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, this guy's a star.
Yeah, I think the big part, man, is just, you know, not just with job related stuff, but other stuff, too. You know, I always tell myself, you know, I know a lot of people. I met a lot of people, you know, during my short time on this earth, 27 years. But, you know, I see a lot of people that just give up and they give up so quick and there's no persistence. There's no effort. They just they get told no one time and that's it for them. With me, I think it's different, man. You know, like you, I just don't like to hear no for an answer. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that yes. Whether that be getting a job or getting sideline passes to a Pittsburgh Steelers game that I'm going to in a couple weeks.
Or calling into the Will Cain show where you used to throw my producers under the bus for not putting you straight onto the program. You didn't even know their names. I remember that as well. You didn't know which one it was. That was a famous clip as well. You had a multiple choice in selecting whether it was Pat or Mike Gay, who wouldn't put you on the air. It was Mike Gay. You remember to this day.
Of course. I do.
Hey, so we've only known each other from a distance, but it does seem like you're being real. So tell me more about, like, you have a whole pod on this, but tell me about your substance abuse. Tell me about that ended up with you in rehab in Arizona.
Yeah, for sure. So I was trying to get clean since about 18 years old. I was started off addicted to opioids, and then, I went towards heroin, and then eventually I got to crack cocaine, which really took me out. I tried to go to rehab multiple times. I just end up relapsing. I didn't take it seriously. And then my last run, I'll never forget, I was really down on my luck. And, I was missing from home for weeks and weeks. I wouldn't show up. I wouldn't shower. And I was sitting next to a Dunkin' Donuts dumpster. And I never forget, my mom, she was driving to get her Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the morning. And, she pulls up and then she sees me laying behind the dumpster. I was filthy. I haven't showered in weeks. And she just looked at me, started crying. And she said, you have to go far away. You have to go far away. And I don't want you to come back home. Just go far away and get help. And, you know, I was so tired of running. I was so tired. I was mad at the world. I just didn't care anymore. And I just said, whatever. I don't care. Send me wherever you want. I'm done. I just want to get help. So she sent me on a one-way plane ticket to Scottsdale, Arizona. And then from there, what I did was I entered a 90-day treatment facility for addicts. And I stood there for 90 days. After 90 days, I went to sober living. After sober living, I got a job bagging groceries for minimum wage because that's what they told me I had to do, is go get a job to pay for the sober living place. That was $125 a week. My mom was done with me at this time. We didn't talk. My family didn't talk to me. And, I just never gave up. You know, I never gave up on myself. My mom never gave up on me. And about a year later, we pretty much reconnected. And for the first time in a long time, you know, my mom wasn't crying over the phone. She was smiling. And I was like, man, if I ever take that smile away from her again, shame on me. And, I have to say, almost 7.5 years later, There's been a lot of smiles, not a lot of tears, man. And, you know, what I do now today is I have a podcast. It's called Fred to Jerry, and it's dedicated pretty much to bringing awareness to addiction and helping people struggling. I do my best to put out a good product. And, you know, we got some faithful listeners. We got a bunch of family members that aren't even addicts that listen because their children are addicts. We try to do a lot. I go to speak at a lot of different places. This Sunday, you know, I'm not watching football this Sunday. Instead, I'm going out to a place in Marlton, New Jersey, and speaking in front of 400 kids who have struggled or are struggling to get off drugs and alcohol or whatever the case may be. And just to give my story, because a man told me one time, he said, you know, in order to stay sober, you have to do a couple things. You don't pick up. You go to a meeting, right, an AA or an NA meeting, and you help other people. That's the recipe to stay sober. And I'm active in the community. I really am. I go to meetings, and I stay sober, and I help others.
Well, you help others on Sundays when the Steelers play on Thursday night. Would you be doing that if the Steelers were on a Sunday game, Jerry?
You know what? I could say at this point in my life, yes.
I believe you. I'm joking with you. You know that. I believe you, man. I've seen it. I don't like to pretend more depth than you have. Like I said, you got to be real, but you certainly come off as real, as authentic. So, I mean, yeah, I believe you. From the heavy stuff like you just laid out to sad day, bad day, having your troubles on the New Jersey Transit, which I gotta be real. I shared that with my 14-year-old son. I figure he's ready for this. I mean, and by the way, I've got the shirt on order, and I showed you that, and it hasn't come in. So I'm a little worried if this Barstool thing's a scam. If it doesn't come in, you're gonna get a customer.
It takes a while.
You know, like a Jersey Jerry level customer review of car washes and that type of thing. I'm gonna have to give one to this T-shirt business if I don't get my shirt.
Oh, you'll get it. Hey, listen, sometimes it takes a few weeks, man, but you'll get it. Trust me.
All right. But back to the serious thing for a moment. Okay, what did it? So, like, everybody, you hear stories of people all the time going to rehab, and then it fails. You hear people who see the light cold turkey, and they succeed. And then some, for others, they never see the light. For some, it's God. Yep. For others, it's, you know, responsibility and whatever it means to be a man. What was it for you? What was the one that made your life change?
Yeah, you know what it was for me. This is my recovery. I could speak on everybody's recovery is different. For the first time in my life, I took suggestions, and I'll never forget. This was one of the most important parts of my recovery. I was in the rehab for about, I'd say, a month, about 30 days, and I was really upset one day, and I was really missing home, and what was there to miss, right? I would go back to the street. But anyway, I looked another man in the eyes because I wanted my counselor at the time. He was this mean, mean man. He was in your face, screaming at you, making you feel like the worst person possible. But he opened your eyes to the big picture. And what was the big picture? Not only was I hurting myself, I was hurting my family. And I asked him, I said, when does it stop, right? When does it stop? And he was like, what do you mean, when does it stop? I said, when does the lying, when does the cheating, the stealing, when does all that stuff stop? When does getting locked up stop? All that stuff. And I'll never forget, he looked me in the eyes and he was crying. And he said, it'll never stop until you stop. And from that day forward, I said, you know, that's it. I'm going to stop. And I stopped and I took suggestions from other people that had more time in the program than me. I thought I was going home after 90 days. And around the 85th day mark, I went up to that same guy and I said, hey, what's going on with the plane ticket back home? And he started laughing. And I said, what are you laughing for? Like, I'm going home, right? And he says, no, you're not going home. I'm recommending you go to a sober living program for another 90 days. And I was really upset. I was really mad. But I got back to my room and I said, you know what? I'm doing it right this time. This guy knows more than I do. I'm going to listen to him. And that's what I did.
Man, I can't believe it's, you know, heroin on the streets, crack. It's hard to think with the happy face here. You know, but you know, the truth is, Jerry, this is part of it, too, like part of your authenticity. There's a little sadness in there that you always retain, I think. And I think anybody who's been through what you've been through retains that, you know. But your self-awareness is what makes it all work for you as a public persona, like you said, being real, being authentic. So let me ask you a question. I hope this doesn't come off as like gotcha or anything like that. It's just like, I got to be real and follow my curiosity. I don't have an addictive personality, really.
Okay.
I just don't, you know, by the way, that doesn't mean I've been immune to it in my family. My father had an addictive personality, you know, it just didn't pass on to me. So, you know, I can drink and then not drink, you know, I can do a lot of things. I can gamble and then not gamble. Does it make it hard for you? Look, Barstool is a good time environment, right? And, you know, the guys are having a good time. They're having drinks. And obviously gambling is a big part of Barstool, which all feeds into things that can be addictive, right?
Yep.
And this isn't like, oh, let's criticize Barstool. That's not what this is. I'm just curious about you as a person. Is that hard? Because you're in an environment that kind of feeds an addictive personality.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with you there 100%. For me, it's a little different. So I come to work, I do whatever I have to do, and I go home. I don't, you know, there's a lot of people here who come to work, they work hard, and then they're going to the bar on a Thursday, Friday night. I choose not to do those type of things, you know what I mean? As far as the gambling goes, you know, since I kind of started gambling, I've always gave myself a weekly limit. And I said to myself, this is what I have to spend. I love action. I love watching football. I love watching sports. If I go over this, then it's a problem. And I've been doing a really, really good job of sticking to my word for the last couple years. And, you know, for me, it's my recovery. It's not a problem for me. Listen, there's people out there that, you know, get off drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, and then they have a crippling gambling addiction.
Right, because I know for some people, addiction can travel, right? And you're saying they just find a new thing to be addicted to, but that's not the case with you.
Yeah, no. Listen, I think, you know, listen, like I said before, the bigger you get, the more haters you get. I have some people in my DMs that say, hey, Jersey Jerry, you really shouldn't gamble. Well, guess what? Like, you know, why shouldn't I gamble? Why? Because you're telling me to not to gamble. If I want to gamble a couple hundred bucks on a football game on a Saturday or a Sunday and it loses, oh well, you know what I mean? I don't let it interfere with anything that would affect my life, my family, my bills or anything like that. But I think I'm strong enough in my recovery now to ever realize if there was a problem, I would know how to go about it and seek the help that I would need. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think you have those. I would hope you have those tools. Well, all right, let's go back to sports for a moment, back where our relationship began. So I got to make my five picks of the week, okay? I don't know if you've seen any signs, if you can give me any signs, if you're feeling anything. can I give you my picks and you tell me what you're feeling?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, this is going to, I know it's off the cuff, but you know, signs are often, you know, sometimes they're deep, sometimes they're shallow. You never know, right? So I do five picks of the week, Jerry. Here they come, okay? First of all, the first two are in college football. I don't really know if you're a big college football fan, but you know I'm going to stick close to home.
Yep.
I'm taking Arkansas +2.5, taking on Texas A&M at Jerry World on Saturday. Two low-scoring teams. I don't believe in Texas A&M. It's not just haterade. I think Arkansas is a tough squad. I'm taking Arkansas. Do you feel any signs?
No, listen, I think that you're right. They're two teams that don't really score a lot of points. Arkansas's defense really isn't that bad. I could see them winning for sure. I'm not the biggest college football guy, but didn't Texas A&M lose a big one earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think everybody remembers that one. Yes. They lost to App State. They lost to App State, man.
There you go. Big upset.
All right, my guys. Texas -6.5 at Lubbock against Texas Tech. I'm going Horns. And I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it with the brain, not the heart, just so you know.
What's the quarterback situation now with that?
That's a great question. That's a great question. So Quinn Ewers, which he's going to win a Heisman, Jerry. Mark it right here. He's going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL, okay? Mark it down. Quinn Ewers, top 10 pick in the NFL, probably a Heisman. He's traveling to Lubbock. I don't know if he's going to play, but I don't even think it matters. I think Texas is going to run the ball all over him. I don't think Tech has the defense to stop Texas or cover 6.5.
I like it. I like Texas.
All right. You like Texas? If you had to say you have a college football squad, who would it be?
Ooh, it's tough.
Rutgers?
You know, No, I would say Pittsburgh because the coach just followed me on Instagram. The main account on Twitter followed me on Instagram. They're like, hey, one. So I put up a tweet a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, you know, I would like to get into more college football. I just don't have a team to root for. And then the head coach, Narduzzi, he followed me on Twitter, and he just commented, H2P, welcome aboard, Jerry. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm a Panthers fan
what's
now.
What's with you in Pittsburgh, man? You're from Jersey. Like, I never understood that about you, the Steeler thing. Like, you're supposed to be like an Eagle fan or maybe a Giant fan, but not Steelers.
Yeah, everybody says that to me, you know. I was growing up, I was young, and my dad and mom would always dress me in black and yellow, and I just fell in love with the colors. And then I remember, like, one day in kindergarten, I was coming out of school, and like this kid was wearing a Steelers jersey, and I was like, oh man, I love those colors. Those are my two favorite colors. And we were talking about the football, like we knew what we were talking about. And I was like, yeah, Steelers are going to win this week. And then I went home and I said, Mom, Dad, I want to get a couple different Steelers things at the store. Sure enough, they bought me to the store, and it's been history ever since. Man, I love Pittsburgh. And I love the city, too, and I travel there often. I go there about seven times a year. I really, really enjoy it there. It's a really cool city.
It is a cool city. It almost looks like it's in Europe, you know, in the middle of all those mountains. As we're talking, Jerry, by the way, you just want to see your Barstool teammates don't treat you like this. My phone just lit up because my former teammate, ESPN, just went after me. Keith Olbermann, Will Cain, for when Jesse Waters is too intellectually challenging for you. So I'm watered down, dumb Jesse Waters, according to Keith Olbermann. That literally just popped up on my phone from the internet's crazy man.
It is. You know, when I post something on the internet, I post it because I like it and I hope other people like it. And I try not to read too much. You know, I'm at the point now where, like, if I post something, I'll probably get, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 likes on Twitter or whatever the case may be, a bunch of comments. And, you know, I just scroll through a little bit. And if I see something negative, I just scroll right past it really quick and act like I never saw it. I just try not to give it too much attention because, like I said earlier, you know, there's people in this world that just want to bring you down. And you know, shame on those people because I use that as motivation just for me to get bigger and better each day.
And that's Keith Olbermann. Hey, real quick before we go back to the NFL. You know, you mentioned him at your dinner party earlier. I wrote it down. So Big Ben, you got Big Ben. You got Steve-O. I see why. Steve-O's been through his addiction issues, and he's a wild and crazy and fun guy. TJ Watt, your bromance. You've got Emeril, who's going to cook, right? I mean, you got that going for you. And then you got Dave. So look, like, Give me the 60-second pitch. By the way, I'm a fan. Give me the 60-second pitch on Dave. I mean, I'm a fan of Dave, but I want you to tell me, as somebody who works for Dave, why you choose Dave to be around, even when you're not being paid to be around Dave.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Dave is a very, very smart and stern guy. You know, like I said, he's not the best texter, but I know for a fact, you know, I feel like our relationship is definitely, you know, employee boss, but at the same time, he gives you enough, like, to where you feel comfortable just shooting him a text. If you have an idea, you could shoot him a text. He's very open like that. But listen, at the end of the day, he's a very, very good guy, man. I really, honestly, I've been a fan of his for a long time. And, you know, there's definitely stuff that, like, you know, Dave has said in the past that, like, even like, you know, football, when we're on a football show and he talks about this team, and I'm like, this guy's an idiot. You know what I mean? He doesn't know what he's talking about. But, you know, I think he's just an overall good, good guy. And I'll tell you what, I think he's a humble guy, too. I really do. You never see him like flashing jewelry or flashing this or flashing that. You know, he's very, very wealthy now. And I really think, you know, he is very humble. And that's what I love most about him is that he's just a humble guy.
That's going to be the headline. Well, El Presidente, humble guy. You know what, though, man? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not calling complete BS on this because I'm not saying he's playing a character. But I think that in this, even though, and this is what I like about Barstool is I think you guys show a lot of who you are. You know, I mean, I think you don't just, you know, like how many dimensions of Coward do we know, right? And that's not an insult to Coward. I don't know. I just don't know how many dimensions I know to him. I'd like to think I know a lot of dimensions to Jersey Jerry. And there's probably dimensions to Dave I don't fully know, right? And it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I would not put it beyond the realm of surprise. I don't even know if it would be surprised to find out he's kind of humble in a lot of ways. I think you have to be surrounded. Like, there's one of those sayings, never find yourself the smartest guy in the room, right? If you're the smartest guy in the room, you got a bad organization.
From the top.
Like, if you're the top guy and you're the smartest guy in the room, you failed. Something's wrong. So, you know, one of the biggest compliments you can give to people is who they surround themselves with. And there's some clearly talented people surrounding him. Okay. Real quick, we'll do all three of my pro picks. You give me the one you like the best on the signs. I've got Bills -6 over Dolphins. I'm taking the Bills. I don't think the Dolphins are everything they're cracked up to be. I don't believe in Tua. Not yet. I'm taking Seahawks -2.5 hosting the Falcons. Falcons are terrible. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking the Bucks -1.5 against the Packers. Brady versus Rodgers. I'm keeping the Cowboys out of it this week, man. I'm not betting on the Cowboys.
I'll tell you what, the pick I like the most is the Bucks. I really do. You know,
I've ridden them both the first 2 weeks. I've ridden them both the first 2 weeks, and they've delivered.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Their defense is so good. Yep. I mean, it's up there in the. I mean, it's got to be a top three defense in the NFL. They are so good. They swarm the ball. They get to the quarterback. Their secondary is very, very good. And listen, in a matchup of Brady and Rodgers, I'll take Brady 99 times out of 100 because Brady is just a winner, man. And what I've noticed, you know, the Patriots teams over the years with Brady, they would win these games by blowouts. Oh, every game they played was a blowout. Not every game, but a lot of games. You know, he's figured out going to Tampa Bay. Not every game is going to be a blowout. He just does enough to win the game. And I'll tell you what, if there's one guy that's hates losing in the NFL, it's Tom Brady. It really is. So I'll ride that all day.
I like it. I think you ride the horse till it bucks you off. And I'm 2-0 on the Bucks this year. Keep riding her until she bucks you off. Okay, man. Listen, thanks for giving me so much of your time. I've texted you this. I've privately told you this. I am just so happy for your success. I can't explain it, man. You know, there's people in this world that you're like, yes, look what this guy has done. Look what he's built. And you're at the top of that list for me. I'm so excited for you. Everybody needs to check you out. Friends of Jerry podcast, follow you on social media, man. You're on a rocket ship. Enjoy the ride.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did you leave radio?
Why did I leave radio?
Why'd you leave sports? Was it money or was it you just didn't like what you were doing anymore?
No, I liked it. I loved the Will Cain show. I loved it, man. I loved what you have in a lot of ways. I loved being around a group of guys that I genuinely had fun with at work every day. Nuno, Cerruti, Bubba, Mike A., Pat. I loved going to work every day and hanging out with those dudes and talking sports. I'll give you all the real reasons, and they go like this. Number one, that was 2020, and the world was falling apart around us. COVID and racial tensions, and I wanted to be more directly in those conversations. I was in news and politics before I was in sports, and I was watching what I felt like was the most important things in our society happening, Jerry, and I just wanted to be able to take them on head on, okay? I also said to myself, I'm not leaving sports. And, you know, I haven't left sports. I'm not as deep in it as I was, but I intend to return and be do both of these things at the depth.
For sure.
I will tell you also this, like, yeah, look, you want to be real for a minute? Money did play a role because COVID played a role, you know? And I don't know if I've ever said this, but, like, I definitely they wanted to keep me. And we still have, you know, I have good relationships over there, but look, when the Disney parks are shut down, that doesn't put somebody in the best negotiating position in the world. And so someone else can compete very well. And that's the moment in time at which, my deal was up at ESPN, but I don't regret it. I think it was, you know, how it all shook out. I'm in the right place. I love being at Fox. I don't think ESPN is the right place for me right now. But that's why I'm no longer there, and that's why I'm at Fox.
What would you say, last question, because I want to pick your brain for 2 seconds.
Of course.
Jersey Jerry, me, I'm not a politics guy. I'm honestly, and I'll be honest, I'm one of those guys who's really not aware of everything that goes on in the world that much. I would like to not even give my opinion, just to read and just to like follow it a little bit, just to know what's happening around me. Where would I, like, where does somebody like that start? Because, you know, I have a bunch of friends that are like all into this stuff, and it's like I can't even really have a conversation with them because I really don't know what's going on, you know?
And you know what, man?
Can I say something, though, before I answer your question? So should you be an investor? Do I think at some point you should put some investment into, to as you're talking about, learning and knowing and caring about the world at a macro level? But I do want to say, like, that's the macro level. Whatever you're doing at the micro level is so much more important. And what I mean by that is, here you are, you have put your life on the right track. You've got a podcast, you got a publication where you're helping people with their lives on an individual basis and attempting to live your life as a good human being. I fundamentally believe that's so much more important than me knowing how you vote, right? Like, gotcha. I've never wondered it. I've never wondered how you vote, and I don't care. I don't care if you agree with me. I don't care if you disagree with me. I've cared when we've debated Dak Prescott or the Steelers or the Cowboys, because human beings develop connections, man, in ways beyond are you red or blue, R or D. I mean, it's not who I want to be, and I don't encourage you to go down that path, but I do encourage you to care. Here's the sad truth, to answer your question directly, and this makes sense. This will make sense to everybody, I think. I can't give you a publication, and I can't give you a news channel where I say, just do this and you'll be on the straight and narrow and you'll be good to go, right? Because, like, does that mean that I represent every opinion that's on Fox News, or that every person on Fox News shares my opinions? It's not the way it works, right? And you know, same thing with the New York Times, or what, are there trustworthy people there? Yes. Are there untrustworthy people? I would say the majority. You know, whatever it may be. But what you have the ability to do now is understand people on an individual basis. So there are people I think you should follow. Insightful people. And I can tell you, I can tell you some now. I can talk to you privately as well. But, like, if you're a non-political person, maybe the most interesting thing to think is, like, who's traveled the path? Who's iconoclastic? Like, if somebody says, you should listen to Will Cain, so, he's just a right-wing guy. You know, if I tell you Tucker Carlson's really insightful, oh, my God, Will's a hack. How could he say that? What about this? What about Glenn Greenwald, who used to be on the left, and now he's like, what's going on in the world? What about Matt Taibbi, who at one point when I was at ESPN, I think also like Keith Olbermann, called me one of the dumbest people there is, and yet that didn't bother me. I think he's somebody you should check out and read, right? What about people who are out there going, what's going on in this world in terms of race relations, free speech, and all of these important issues beyond simply like who gets elected to center of Pennsylvania? Who's giving me good insight on that stuff? And I think that's where you do it. It's not easy. That's the problem. It's not easy to sort it out and find these individuals, man, but you have to. It's everything's harder work. No.
For sure.
Because there's nobody that gets your trust now without earning it. And, like, really quickly, like, you used to call him the Will Cain Show, right? What do people say about Will? Oh, Will's a racist, right? Will's a racist. Why? Because he argued with Stephen A. You listen to the show. Yeah. I mean, I think you know the truth because you invested in me as an individual, right?
And I listen to it every day.
And all I cared about was knowing people as individuals, right? And looking at individual situations. I don't care what race you are, but in today's modern America, you know, I guess that's the province of racists.
Yeah. It's been fun, Will.
Hey, man.
You know, this is kind of one of those, how do I say this? This is one of kind of those full circle moments for me. You know, I was very early on in my journey when we started to talk, and like, I look at it now, it's like, wow, man, I used to beg to call into this guy's radio show, and now he just messaged me and said, hey, come on my podcast. So I appreciate it. It's like a full circle moment, man.
Not just that. I'm here for the ride, too. You enjoy this ride, but I'm with you. So wherever it goes, I want to be a part of it. Whenever you need my help, you have it. Not only because I like you, you're a star, man. You are a massively talented person who is funny and interesting. You don't mess it up. you're going to be great, you know, and I want to be there. I want a piece of it. Forget altruism. I want a piece of Jerry's future.
Thank you so much, Will. You're a great guy, man.
All right, Jerry. Take care, man.
Hey, last thing. You let me down on the show. The next time the Steelers play the Cowboys, we're both going. Promise.
What? Going to the game?
Yes. You let me down last time.
Done. Let's go to the game.
Deal.
All right. That's a date. All right. Hey, before we cut it off, Jerry, what can I plug? Friends of Jerry. What else?
Yeah, just, you know, my Twitter and Instagram is the same. It's Jerry the Kid 21.
Yeah.
And you know, you can find me anywhere at Jersey Jerry, Friend of Jerry podcast on YouTube. Especially, you know, if you know, because one out of three people in this country struggle with addiction or have family members that do struggle with addiction. You know, give that a listen. We've had some great guests: Tracy Morgan, Josh Beck, Mike the Situation, Brandon Novak, Viva LaBam. We've Darren Waller, Max Crosby. We have the guests that share their story. It's a really good show. So Friend of Jerry on YouTube and Jerry the Kid 21 everywhere else.
It's a disqualification.
This is a catastrophe.
All right, man. Take care. I'll see you.
Have a good one, Will.
Again, on Twitter, Jerry the Kid 21. On Instagram, Jerry the Kid 21. At Barstool, Friends of Jerry podcast. I'm telling you, that dude, he's a good dude. You're going to enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Will Cain podcast. Share it with your friends. Leave it 5 stars if you think it's so deserved. Leave a comment. As you saw from this episode, I'll read them, and I may read them on air. I'll see you again next time.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.